Welcome to Tony TV. Inspiring people across the planet to be a little kinder and a little more gentle with each other. Delivering inspirational TV, one story at a time, from my lounge to yours. I'm your host, Tony Lontis. And good afternoon, Australia. Good evening, America. We're back on Radio Tony Everyday Business, and I'm your host, Tony Lontis. And today we're going to be talking to the gorgeous Karen Clark. But before I introduce you to Karen, just a big shout out to America. I know in California that you've got some terrible fires raging. And just so you know that we in Australia know all about the horribleness of fires, and just to know that we are thinking of you. And I also know down in the south that they have a monstrous hurricane headed towards them. And again, speaking to my technician at W4WN this morning, and she was preparing for a hurricane and flooding where she was in Louisiana. And just know that our thoughts are with you guys at the moment. Lots of stuff happening across America in terms of political unrest, the election coming up, and so much happening to that great country of yours. And just know that we're thinking of you at the moment. So my guest today is a friend of mine by the name of Karen Clark, and she has been involved in a heap of businesses across varied industries for at least 30 years. And then in 2015, she decided that she wanted to make a difference in how business owners and entrepreneurs feel about their business to accelerate their time and money freedom and show how easily it is they can create success. She's invested a lot of time in business seminars and boot camps around mindset and transformation. She's also interested in motivating people to be part of an education system. And she's had a goal for 10 years to create an educational facility to bring this type of education and enlightening to young entrepreneurial people. In 2015, she found a way to do this, and she became trained as a certified life mastery consultant with the Brave Thinking Institute. Doesn't that sound amazing? The Brave Thinking Institute. And so now she's a certified life mastery consultant. She's worked with many, many people and helped them change their habits, change their lives and their business because of working with Karen. And so I will be quite upfront. I've worked with Karen and am working with Karen. And so not only is she a friend and colleague, but she has been my teacher as well. She wants to teach us about the universal laws and the quantum world. And just like we know gravity and the law of thermodynamics are there, but we can't see them, that there are things within your mind and spirit that you can't necessarily see, but they are there and they cause really amazing results in your life. So good morning, Karen, and welcome to Radio Tony.
Hi, Tony. What a wonderful introduction. That sounds amazing. I wonder who this person is who you were talking about.
That would be you. That would be you, of course. Before we get into talking about what you do now, I'd really like to know and delve into the story of Karen. Where did you come from? What have you learned? And what's your big vision for the future?
Thank you, Tony. So I'm a New Zealander. I'm one of those many New Zealanders who've jumped the ditch and
as we say moved, in Australia.
Yeah, and moved or crossed the ditch and moved into Australia. And in fact, I never had any intention to do it. When I left and came over here in just under 2 years ago, my mum said to me, "Now, don't you go and meet any man." And because at the time I was single, "Don't you go and meet an Australian man and stay there, will you?" And that is basically exactly what happened. So I grew up in the capital city of New Zealand, which is Wellington. Mm-hmm. And I grew up on what is now called a lifestyle block.
Yes.
In those days, there was no such thing. So we had just this piece of land, a bit like you, Tony. And by the way, your land and your animals look beautiful on that little introduction video. And so we had sheep, and every year my dad would get the sheep that we had female sheep used, and he'd have them sired, and we'd have baby lambs every year. Yeah. And we had one lamb that had twins every year, which was beautiful. And sometimes we had to feed the babies because their mums disowned them, and so sometimes we bottle fed them. So I had a really privileged upbringing with animals and nature, and a city very close by. So I had the best of both worlds. We climbed trees as children. And I grew up in a family of business people. So my mum and dad, my dad had a business. And the thing my dad gave me, I think, which was the biggest gift apart from my wonderful upbringing in those ways, was that he said to me one day when I was at work with him, I used to go to work and work there. And he taught me many, many things about running a business. Mm-hmm. He said to me one day, Karen, you can do anything you want to.
Yeah.
You can do anything at all. If you want to have your own business, you can have it. If you want to go to university and do like chemistry degree or pharmacy degree, you can do that. And then you can have your own pharmacy or you can have your own business. And so that really, that gave me a belief in myself that was such a gift that so many people don't have. And I grew up wanting to have my own business, and I thought it was normal for everybody to grow up wanting to have their own business.
Yeah.
Until I was flatting with my flatmates, and one of them had a job with Telecom, you know, which is like our Telstra. And his girlfriend was a nurse. And I realized one day something happened, and I had an aha moment, and I realized that they didn't have the same aspirations as me as to wanting their business. They actually wanted to be in a big company or in a big government role, because that's what
I see.
Security blanket. Yeah, and so I grew up always wanting to have my own business, wanting to be an entrepreneur. Freedom was really important to me, so I was a bit of a rebel. I used to do things. I went to a girls only private school, and I used to rebel against all the rules, and I rode a motorcycle to school, and I wouldn't wear my uniform, because of course you didn't wear a uniform on a motorcycle.
No.
And you know, I was a bit of a rebel in my early days, and I understood later when I did some work on one's purpose, our why, our big reason for being here, that helped me to understand that my big reason for being here was freedom for humanity. So freedom is really important to me. And that also, from then on, this was some years ago before I even became a coach, from then on, I always asked the question of every decision I had to make about my future, my career, my business, whatever, will this further serve my purpose?
Yes.
And with my coaching and the type of coaching that is, I was able to say, yes, the coaching I do helps people around their freedom with regard to financial freedom, their time freedom, and their freedom from fear and the feelings that hold us back that come up, like not being good enough. Or anything about freedom to do with moving forward to have the life that we would love.
So what was your first business, Karen?
Actually, my first business, I was a salesperson with an MLM. That was one of the very early MLMs.
It's
not around anymore. It was called San Michelle, and it was in the beauty industry. They had skincare and makeup, and so I became a wedding and special occasion makeup specialist. I went on to do my sculpture nail training, so I became one of those people who I'm an early adopter for everything. Though in those days, it was way too early, because in New Zealand, hardly anyone had their nails done like they do now.
Right.
So, I was a nail technician. I became a manicurist. I did all of those things.
Beauty
and special occasion makeup and looking good and all of that. Yeah, that was my first. And I had a team under me with the San Michelle stuff.
And so what did you progress to then?
Well, so after that, I had the business that we had a family, but it became my family business with my husband. Yeah. We had that business for 25 years and it was in the automotive industry.
Yeah.
And
so completely different.
Yes. We decided, because my husband was a very talented automotive engineer, and we would call it a mechanic, and he was very, very good with English sports and executive cars and small cars, because he was quite a small man, and he didn't mind getting in these little sports cars and under the bonnet of cars like that. And he developed a niche in that area where he was very, very good at what he did. And so we decided to start a business in 1985 that was a boutique workshop in sports and executive cars, renovating and restoring and maintaining sports and executive cars. And that was probably the first time I used, not the first time, but one of the times I'm aware that I used a process that I teach people now, which was, we created the business in our head. You know, I drew the picture in my head of this boutique, beautiful, clean, pristine workshop that was contrary to what most car workshops were like, where you'd walk in and they were smelly and dirty and they were greasy, and mechanics had dirty, greasy marks all over their overalls.
Yeah.
And we decided to create this boutique workshop where people liked coming and hanging out.
Yeah.
By their car, or having a look around, and you know, leaving their cars with us, these special cars that were there, like their babies, you know, they're an investment, those types of cars.
They are.
So we found these premises in Auckland, in one of the highest socioeconomic areas in Auckland. We were in Auckland then. And it was just an old, dirty old industrial building. Concrete block walls, concrete floor.
Yeah.
Exposed ceiling, exposed like metal beams with all the roof showing and everything. And we went in and we got it and we just painted all the walls white, everything white. We painted the floor in this special paving paint that cars could drive on in a high gloss grey, light grey. And then we proceeded to make it look like a boutique. So I went out and I hunted down these full-size prints of Marilyn Monroe, beautiful, beautiful prints. So one of her standing over the grate, the very famous one, and another one. And I framed them and I put them up on the walls, and beautiful Bugattis and cars and things like that. So it looked really classy.
Yeah.
And we made a little coffee area with a coffee maker where people could come and sit and help themselves to a cup of coffee. And we just made it a really special place, and we kept it immaculate. You know, every week the guys would, every day the guys would mop up little oil spills or anything like that. The floor was clean. And I went to see the wife of one of our clients last year.
Yeah.
This is 25 years, 30 years ago we started this business in, or however many it is, 1985. And he came.
Yeah.
He was one of our first clients, her husband, and he had a Mark II Jaguar.
Ooh.
And he came, because those are the cars we worked on.
Yeah.
And he came in and he went home and he told his wife something.
Yes.
And she told, I went to visit her last Christmas when we were there. Sadly, he's passed away, and we became friends with the family. They saw our children grow up. We used to have dinner together. And she said, oh, my gosh, I can always remember the day her husband's name was Sipkol. They were Dutch and they'd just arrived in New Zealand very soon beforehand.
Yeah.
But I remember the day that Sipkol came home and he told me he'd found you. And he said, I found these people who can look after my car. And he said, you're not going to believe it, but the mechanic wears white overalls. And she's never forgotten that. And that was one of the things that impressed him so much. And he was an identity designer. And he was a perfectionist. And he was very particular about everything. And he just couldn't believe that we had this workshop that was so pristine and beautiful,
yeah.
and that
yeah.
my husband wore white overalls. And every night I used to scrub them with Dynamo.
Oh, yeah.
And soak them so that they were always clean and looking beautiful. He was a very clean worker anyway.
Yeah,
however,
yeah.
you know, there were times when if he brushed against a car or something.
Because it's oily and greasy and that's the environment. So what happened to the business?
Oh, we had it for 25 years.
Yes.
And in 2010, it had been just over 25 years. However, my husband and I separated 12 years before that.
Yeah.
We separated with small children. We had twin daughters plus another one. The twins were seven and my youngest was four.
Yes.
And it was, my world actually imploded then.
Yeah.
When I married and had the children, I thought we were going to be together forever.
Yes.
And when this happened, that was a huge shock for me. It was, I really was, my world imploded.
Yeah.
However, I had this business. I was a 50% shareholder in this business.
Yes.
And, you know, I was invested in this business, as you can tell. I started it with my husband.
Yeah.
And so I sort of went, well, what am I going to do? How am I going to provide for my children? I actually was the finance controller.
Yes.
So I was the one who looked after all the money. If we ever needed money, my husband was really the hands-on technician, and I did everything else. I did all the marketing. I did the finance controlling. I did everything else, organized the office, organized staff, admin, HR, everything.
Yeah.
And so I thought, how am I going to carry on?
Yes.
So, and you know, who's going to want to employ me? As you do, because I hadn't worked for anyone for years, for almost forever. I only had a couple of few jobs in my early years.
Yeah.
So I made a decision to stay in that business, Tony, with my husband, who had had an affair, by the way, and that's why our marriage broke up. And I made a decision for the children especially to continue to run that business with my husband.
Wow.
And so we did that for 12 years.
Wow.
However, we both lost our real motivation for the business.
Yeah.
We both lost that passion for it.
Yeah.
And it got to a point where I would walk in. I mean, I used to go in later and later and later.
Yes.
But when I did go in, my heart would sink
when
I walked in the door through to the office. And so, and I know my husband's heart wasn't in it either.
Yeah.
And we were really just marking time. We did put the business on the market.
Mm-hmm.
But we had this very clever lawyer and solicitor who was our the owner of the property,
who put
us into a 10 plus 10 lease when we took over different premises. So we had this lease that we were locked into for 10 years. And then when the right of renewal came up, we actually took it, although we were separated by then.
Yeah.
Yes, we were. But we took it because we were still in the business. And so we locked ourselves in for another 10 years. And so we had tried to sell it, but it had a demolition clause in the lease. The owner had put a demolition clause in it because it was new market. It was a centre of Auckland, and it was an area that had been being developed since we'd started the business. And he had foresight to see that someone might want to develop that site one day. And so he put this demolition clause into our lease, and it was very hard to sell the business with a demolition clause in the lease. So we didn't actually sell it. So we just were hanging in there and hanging in there.
Yes.
And so at the end of the time, we made a call to close the doors.
Wind it up.
And it was a really sad, sad time because we had clients who were coming to us for that full 25 years. And in fact, our landlord is an owner of a lot of commercial property in Auckland. Very wealthy family, Jewish family, very wealthy, and owners of a lot of Auckland.
Yeah.
And they all brought their cars to us, the whole family. And
Oh.
So when we closed, they actually sent us a big bunch of flowers, and it was a sad time. However, you know, it served. My children grew up in the business. That
yes.
was the place where mum and dad were together,
yes.
even though
yeah,
we were
okay.
separated.
Yeah.
So it was their stability, and they worked there, and they learnt
yes.
a lot of life skills that children
yeah.
don't learn until they actually start working. My kids came out of university, and they were already way
yes.
ahead of other kids because
yes.
they'd worked in our business
business.
all the way through.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Gosh, Karen, so then what did you do?
So actually, I had a big motorcycle accident just
Oh my
before we walked out the doors, or
goodness.
just after, I think it was.
Oh my goodness.
So I smashed myself up quite badly.
Yeah.
And I was off, unable to work or do anything, even drive, for 6 weeks. And so I really had that time to sit and go, what is life about? Where am
Yes.
I going? What am I doing
Yes.
with myself? And I actually I took on mentorship with the Entrepreneurs Institute, man by the name of Roger James Hamilton. For a year, I took on mentorship with him. And part of that mentorship was a trip to Europe and Italy and learning about past and future, and
Yes.
like merging them together. And he's one of the
Yeah.
most intelligent, clever people I have ever met.
Yeah.
And so I went on this trip in July, August, I think it's July of 2010, which was amazing, and it was for entrepreneurs. And from then on, I did many things. I started I was investing as well.
Yes.
So I started property investing when I still had the business.
Uh-huh.
And I've been through the massive global financial crisis with
Yeah.
property.
Yeah.
And so that's another story, which we can talk
Yeah.
about another time,
Yeah,
however.
yeah, yeah. Yeah, we will.
I started a business in forex trading, so education about forex trading, not forex trading itself, helping people to understand how money can be made with forex trading.
Yes.
And then we connected them to a trader in the back end who was achieving amazing results, like 80% returns.
Yes.
And then basically the regulatory bodies in New Zealand shut that business down for us because they changed in New Zealand not long after we started that business and brought in regulations around financial products.
Yes.
And didn't really understand that we weren't a financial product, we were an education body, and it didn't matter
Yes.
how many hours I talked to the lawyers in those regulatory bodies, they
didn't get it.
Didn't agree. And yet the rules and regulations were very grey. It's not like ASIC here, where
Yes.
it's been around for years and there's very clear direction.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
they were very grey, and they couldn't actually direct us to many people who could tell us what we needed to do to comply. And in the end, basically they forced the broker we were working with to disconnect from all of our clients because that broker, they said, was not complying as well. So to cut a long story short, that business started. We grew it very quickly and had over $1 million worth of investors' funds being traded within the first 6 months. And then after a couple of years, that business just was shut down for us.
Oh,
that
my
was another
goodness.
business I did. And, you know, I'm not a person to give up lightly, though. I went,
goodness
okay,
me.
so how do we deal with this? These clients
Yes.
all have this money being traded and they want to continue. So I found a solution. I'm a solutions
Yes.
person. I'm like, okay, what's the answer to this problem? What's the solution?
Yeah.
There's always a solution, I believe.
Yeah.
And I did find a solution for a while. However, our trader, trading is 90% mindset.
Yes.
And because of what had happened then, and then the new brokers and the moving around and all the rest, our trader's mindset went AWOL, and he didn't do well. And I ended up, he actually lost a lot of money for some of our clients. We had clients in Australia as well. Yeah. And I ended up paying back thousands of dollars to these clients that he lost money for out of my own funds.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Because I don't believe in having people, having a business where people have lost or suffered through something that could, you know, that I contributed to. And my trader wasn't, you know, he was out. My partners were out. They had no funds. Yeah. So I made the decision because of my values that I wanted to do that. And so I did that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So then what came next?
So then I think it was, I was doing contract work between then and, so that was 2012. I was doing, I had a, so how I paid those clients back was one of the properties we sold. I got some money out to pay, which was just at the right time.
Yes.
So one of the properties that we had, I managed to pay a client back, the clients back with that, those funds, that, those profits.
Yeah.
So then I was just doing some contract work with anything I could really to bring in enough funds to keep going.
Yeah.
So I did a bit of contracting sales for different people who wanted someone who was good at sales or connection or rapport building type of, you know, contracts. And like you said at the beginning, this thing about me wanting to bring the education to people around mindset, around transformation, about what really causes our results, that was still going on for me. And I was still doing learning with the Entrepreneurs Institute and Roger Hamilton and Paul Dunn and people like that.
Yeah.
And so I did my training. I did, first of all, I did a program with the Life Mastery Institute myself called the Dream Builder.
Yeah.
And part of that, I signed up again, I think, for another one, which might have been Brave Thinking. And part of that, they included the weekend called Dream Builder Live, which is a live weekend with Mary Morrissey, my master coach, and everybody who is interested. And I decided to go, and I decided to take one of my daughters with me. And so I went to that, and that was when I saw what Mary does and what Life Mastery does and how it works and how it changes people's lives.
Yes.
That I went, this is it. Because at the time they had not long been training coaches and they were offering coaching training.
Yeah.
And when I saw that, I went, this is it. This is what I want to do. This is how I can bring this education to people. This is amazing. And so I went ahead and put my money into it.
Yes.
And went on through the training to do advanced training and become a life mastery consultant. So I started as what they call a dream builder coach.
Yes.
And then I went on to become a life mastery consultant.
And that's where we're at now.
Well, no, I've actually done further training since then. I this year I have also trained to add more strings to my bow and to be able to help people people more. I have become an NLP, so neuro-linguistic programming certified practitioner, coach, timeline therapy certified practitioner, and modern hypnosis certified practitioner.
Yeah.
And later this year, I'm going to do my master's in those.
Wow. So it's really become a journey from entrepreneurship into master consulting and helping people create those same results in their own lives?
Absolutely. And what I do now, I wouldn't change for anything else I've done. I absolutely love being a coach and mentor,
Yeah.
and I love working with people
Yes.
and helping them, because I don't do it for them. You know, they actually
Yes.
do, my
Do the
clients
work.
do the work. But the results that they get is so rewarding, whether I'm doing a free session
Yes.
of simply a strategy session with
Yes.
creating someone's vision, or whether I'm doing paid coaching,
Yeah.
the results I get, I absolutely love.
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about that strategy session later in the show. But I'm wondering if you can explain to our listeners, Karen, that there's a connection between wanting something and aiming for it and creating it. Can you explain that for our listeners today?
Yes. So first of all, it's many people don't understand that connection. Like you say, Tony, many of us
Yeah.
have, I say, oh, do you have a vision? That's my first question to people. Do you have a vision of what you want your life to be like, or your business? Because I'm a business coach. Let's talk about business. And people often say, yes, yes, I do. I have my vision. I've done my vision statement, or I've had it.
Yeah.
And then I ask them to tell me what it is, and they have a kind of sort of maybe if it works out vision, or they have a very broad vision that's not specific and detailed. For example, they might say, I want my business to be really successful, and I
Yes.
want it to be a great marketing business where I'll
Yes.
have staff and, it'll be successful.
Yes.
Well, in order to actually create what you want, there's a law of specificity.
Yes.
And so, like you talked about, just like
Yeah.
the laws of gravity, there is a law of specificity. So
Yes.
if you're not specific about exactly how you want that business to look,
Yes.
how much income and profit and turnover you want that business to make, how many clients you want, who they are, what
Yes.
they look like, what they
Yes.
feel like after they've had your services,
Yes.
and all those types of things, the universe cannot deliver it, because it
Yeah.
doesn't know what having a successful business is to you versus having a successful business is to me. And if you say, oh yeah, I want to have $1 million worth of turnover,
What does that look
but
like?
you don't say, I want there to be within that $800,000 worth of profit, you
Yes.
could have $1 million worth of turnover, and you could have $10 worth of profit. And that happens, like, you know, business is like that. I started out with a business that was 60,000 in the beginning a year turnover,
yeah.
right, or profit.
Yes.
And actually, as you grow, you can just add zeros, right? That's how
Yes.
it works. You add zeros. You get more stress, more work, more staff, more liability, more zeros. But the profit might not get that much bigger.
Yeah.
Unless you know how to work it and
Yes.
make sure this is not just to do with the laws, but to do with other things around business. Unless
Yeah.
you know how to really make sure that if you're growing in this way, that you do actually know how to increase your profit as well.
Yeah, yeah. And so everyone should have a vision, shouldn't they?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that you've got to have your outcome. You've got to know where you're going. That's
Yeah.
what your vision is. It's like,
yeah.
I've said, use the example, if you're going on holiday, and by the way, most people spend more time planning a weekend away than they do
than they
planning
do their
their
vision.
vision, their business vision, or their life vision, or their
Yes.
Outcome, how they would like their life to be.
Yeah.
So let's say you're going on holiday for the weekend and you've planned it all right. You've got the car ready to go. You've packed the car. You've fueled it up. You've had a service. You've checked the oil. You've packed the suitcases in, the family's in the car, and you're ready to go.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going. You
Yeah.
haven't decided where you're
Yeah.
going. If you don't know where you're going, you'll drive around aimlessly, right? You have to have a destination in mind at some point. You've got to say, we're going to go here, even if it's like you don't want to plan the whole journey. But if you want to go somewhere and end up somewhere that night, you must at some point say, we're going here. And it's the same with our life. So we must know where we're going. We must have the outcome in mind, the end destination in mind, before we can expect to be able to find a way to achieve it. And most people don't understand that we don't have to know the how. Sure, with the holiday, you might have to know how to get there. But you know what? As soon as you know where you're going, all you've got to do is put it in your NavMan or put it in Google Maps. And Google Maps will give you the how. And it's same with our lives. Once we say, this is what I want, this is my outcome, this is where I'm going, this is my vision, and the clearer and more specific, the better. The how will come to us.
So if you're thinking from a business perspective and your vision is to have that $1 million turnover, then along with that vision to have that $1 million turnover, you have to also attach to that vision what profit you want to make. And if you're a business that sells a particular product, then you should really know how many products you have to sell to get that turnover and that profit margin, correct?
Yes, that is true. That is part of the detail. You might not require that much. It's probably good to know that, because that's part of a goal. So your vision is actually the big picture.
It is.
So when I say be specific with your vision, it's about things like you say, it's about how much you want to make, how much profit you want to make, how many hours you want to work to do that.
Yes.
Right. Yes. Not how many hours you think you have to work, but how many hours you want
you
to work.
To work.
So that then you can bring in leverage.
Yeah.
Right, you can say, actually, to earn that money, I'd have to work 120 hours a week.
Yeah.
No, if you
That's
know that you want that,
me.
You can ask, how can I make this money in a leveraged way so I don't have to work more than 30 hours a week? Right, so what you want to know is the things you want around the big picture, who your customers are. Are they women? Are they men? How do they feel? Because it's about energy. Actually, we're talking about energy here.
Yes.
And we're talking about creating a vision which has a high energetic vibration. So we're bringing in the science now. Everything is energy. Our thoughts are all energy. This is proven science, proven physics.
And we I remember you telling me, Karen, that if you look at your mind in terms of a wave on a graph, and it's demonstrated that your mind works like a wave on a graph, which is energy, yeah?
That's right. So our thoughts are like an energy, are an energetic vibration. So you can imagine they're like a frequency.
Yeah.
So if you think about the radio and the television,
yes,
that picks up its signal from a frequency.
Yes.
Our minds are exactly the same. It's like we're sending out and receiving a frequency.
Uh-huh.
And we operate at a particular frequency. Now, if to give you an example, a person who wakes up depressed in the morning, their thoughts are operating at a very low vibrational frequency. They are not going to attract good things, their vision, until they change their thoughts to change their frequency.
Yeah.
Because you have to be in synergy with the vibrational frequency of the life that you would love in order to attract it.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? That's why Einstein said, if you match the frequency of your thoughts with the life that you desire, it can't help but be yours. This is not philosophy. This is physics. Einstein said it all those decades ago.
Yes.
The stuff I teach is not new.
Yeah.
All the great masters and all the great philosophers worked with these things before we started teaching it.
Yeah. So there's working with you, you'll be able to teach people how to change that low level frequency thinking to a higher level frequency thinking.
Yes, absolutely. That's one of the things we do. So it's important for people to understand that we think more than 70,000 thoughts a day.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah. And if I said to you, Tony, give me 10,000 of the thoughts you had yesterday, you probably couldn't even tell me 10. Okay, so we are unaware of most of them. And what we also know is that 90% of the thoughts we have each day are the same thoughts we had yesterday.
Yeah.
And so these thoughts that we're having that we're not aware of, yes, are at a particular vibrational energy. And so they're sending out this energy, this level, and they're, yeah, bringing it back in.
Yeah.
And what we're trained to do by society, mm-hmm, is we're actually trained and programmed to think about things that we're worried about, things that, yes, we don't want, things, yeah, that we don't like,
yeah,
and lack. And so what we're doing with most of these thoughts, because we're programmed to do it, we don't understand that we're doing it. We, yeah, are putting out that energetic vibration without even realizing it. And so we're, uh-huh, attracting the things that we don't want, because the universe, yeah, thinks that what we pay our attention to is our intention.
And that's what we want.
That's right. And the universe gives us what we want, what we ask for.
Yeah.
And so we're in a way asking for it.
Yes.
And so we're getting it. So what I teach people to do is to notice our thoughts, first of all.
Yes.
And you can't just notice them, because as humans, once again, it happens without us realizing it.
Yeah.
So what I say is you want a system, just like everything works best with systems and structure.
Yes.
You want to implement a system to check in with your thoughts as often as you can. So, yeah, an example, Mary, my master coach, has a system where every time she picks up a handle of some kind,
yes,
or touches a handle, so it could be this, it could be a door handle, it could be a cup, yes, handle, it could be a car, yes, door handle, it could be any kind of handle, she goes, what am I thinking? And then what happens is when we check in with what we're thinking,
yeah,
or another good sign is if we're feeling a little bit icky, you know, a,
yes,
little bit down,
yes,
a little bit sad, or a little bit, yes, not right, or not as happy as we know we can be, or we know we'd, yeah, like to be, then, yeah, just check in. What are we thinking about? What have we been thinking about?
Uh-huh.
As soon as we know what we're thinking about and we understand if it's a contractive thought, so if it makes,
yes,
us feel contracted rather than expansive, motivated, inspired, as,
uh-huh,
soon as we notice that's a contractive thought, then we can replace it, because our thoughts are not real.
Yeah.
They're,
yeah,
not real.
Yeah.
Just like fear is not real. Our thoughts are not real. They're just thoughts that are being created,
yeah,
by our beliefs, our attitudes, our values.
Yeah.
And they are created by actually most things that are unreal. So most beliefs are not real. Society, the people who love us and think that they are looking after us and caring for us, actually,
yeah,
instill beliefs in us.
Yes.
Which hold us back and often cause negative thoughts about us not being good enough or not being able to do this, or that money is greedy or dirty, or, you know, all,
yes,
those kind of things, which stop us from actually thinking we can be abundant, we can be prosperous, we can be wealthy,
yeah,
because it's bad and wealthy people are not very nice and all those kind,
yeah,
of thoughts that society puts out there. And so what we can do is, actually, when we've got our vision, it comes back to our vision. When we've got our vision and we say, this is what I want. This,
yes,
is what I'm doing. I,
yes,
want this business that's going to have $1 million turnover.
Yes.
And I'm going to help people through this business have a different life, etc. When we've got this vision and we say, I'm doing it, I'm committed. And then when these thoughts come up, we just say, no, don't tell me I'm not good enough. Don't,
yes,
tell me it's too scary. I've decided I'm doing this. And, you know, I want everyone here to know that there is not one thought about what you want to do, be, or have that you can create in your life that you cannot achieve, in your,
yeah,
head, that you cannot,
yeah,
achieve.
Yeah.
There's not one thing that if we can dream it up, it cannot become real.
Yeah, yeah. I love the analogy you used when we first started talking about the chair, and that the chair was just a thought in someone's head before it was invented. Can you expand on that for me, Karen? Because I just it cemented for me that thoughts can become reality and how that happens.
I really like to use that because people say when I tell them that it helps them to join the dots.
It does. It does.
So let me put it like this. Thank you for asking me to explain it like that, Tony. We're all sitting, probably most people listening, and you and I, we're all sitting on a chair.
Yeah.
And I say to people, where was that chair before it became a chair? It was a thought in the chair designer's head. And we think in pictures, actually, and we usually think in color as well.
Yes.
So the chair that designer created was probably a color picture of that chair that we're sitting on now.
Yes.
And so what happened was the designer created it and then decided, I'm going to make this chair. So then that designer, him or her, decided, gave it enough energy, focus, attention, and took action and created a blueprint of that chair, and then took that blueprint and said to the manufacturer, make me this chair.
Yeah.
And you know, that is a process by which everything is created. They brought that thing that was, and once you think something up, it exists in the quantum world already.
Yes.
And so they created it in the quantum world. And then they brought it to this physical world.
Yep.
And that is exactly what we do with our life, with this teaching. Uh-huh. That is exactly how everyone's lives progress. And so what we're doing is that we're creating that picture either by default or by design.
Yes.
Because if you don't design it, if you don't design that vision that you want, then all those 60 to 70 plus thousand thoughts that you're thinking, mostly what you don't want, are creating your life by default.
Yeah.
And I want to just add to that a little story about the Wright brothers who created flight.
Yes.
And their father was a minister or a pastor, actually. And so he said to them when they were starting and first doing this, he said, boys, if God intended you to fly, he would have given you wings. So they kind of had that family against them right from the beginning. And you know, you will know from history that they had many, many failures, which we don't call failures, we call feedback.
Yes.
But one day, Wilma said to his brother, you know what, it's just not working. It's not working, you should give up.
Yeah.
And his brother went back to him and he said, no, I can see it. We can do it. I can see it.
Yes.
And they did, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And so all the people who have changed history.
Yes.
All the people who have created things that didn't exist in our physical world at the time.
Yes.
Have used this process. You know, Henry Ford.
Yes.
When he created the V8. So he already created the car.
Yes.
Which didn't exist before he, you know, created
the motor.
We had
horses and carts, didn't
we? Exactly.
So we didn't have a car.
That's right. And then he created the car, and then he decided, he came up with, and the car had, they had straight cylinder engines in a straight up and down.
Yes.
And he, you know, came up in his mind with a V8 engine.
Yes.
He decided that a V8 engine would be more powerful and it would be better.
Uh-huh.
And he designed this in his head, right? And he went to his engineer and he said, this is what I want. You know, this is what an idea I have. This is what I want us to make next.
Yes.
And his engineer said to him, can't be done. Can't be done. It won't work.
Okay.
And he looked at him and he said, if you don't find a way to make this V8 engine, I'll find myself an engineer who will.
Can.
And of course, I don't know whether he used actually his original engineer or whether he found another one, but we know that he created the V8 engine because it's been a favorite for many petrol freaks for many, many years.
World over. Mm-hmm. Mm. Mm-hmm. So the point is that it started as a thought imagined in our brain, and it was created in reality. And if we follow that process, then we can, conversely, we can create anything that we want in our own lives.
Absolutely. By giving it,
what are those four wonderful words? By
so enough attention, focus, energy, making the commitment and the decision that we're going to have it. See, there's an equation. There's an equation. Let me share it with you. Equation for having these things achieved.
Yeah.
It's our thoughts create our feelings and emotions.
Yes.
Which then create the actions that we take.
Yes.
Which then cause our results.
Can you say that again for us, Karen?
Absolutely. Our thoughts cause our feelings and emotions.
Uh-huh.
Which then cause the action that we take.
Uh-huh.
Which then causes our results. So let me give you an example.
Yeah.
One day I went out and I went out to a hotel and had some drinks and dancing and things, and I went to the loo and I left my fairly new late model iPhone in the toilets in the bathroom, and I didn't realize that I had until I got home. Normally set my alarm and went to set my alarm and was like, oh my gosh, where's my phone?
Yeah.
Oh dear, I've left it at the hotel. Don't know where it is. Think it might be in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And so then I started to have all these thoughts about what if I don't get it back?
Yes.
What if somebody finds it and takes it?
Yes.
It's basically my life. It's basically my business on it.
Yes.
It was on payment plan.
Yes.
So I still have to keep paying for it. It was only new, so I had like 2 years to keep paying for it. But I won't have my phone. What am I going to do to get a new phone? I don't have the money to buy one. All these different things, right?
Yeah.
And I started to get, as a result, these thoughts, which weren't real, right? They were just what? I started to get stressed. I couldn't get to sleep. I was getting really, really worried about losing my phone. The next morning, I rang the hotel when they opened. So I was having a physical reaction, by the way, by then, to these thoughts, because that's what happens. So the next morning, I rang the hotel and they said, oh, yes, we've got your phone here. What does it look like or something? And proved that it was mine. Yes, we've got it here. Immediately, I settled down. You know, like the stress levels went out of my body. I felt differently and I went and got the phone. The thing about your thoughts create the feelings, and that if you wake up in the morning and you feel really, really bad and you're depressed and you decide, I just can't stand that even getting up today. I feel so low. I'm going to pull the covers over my head and spend the day in bed.
Yeah.
You will create the results of spending the day in bed and achieving nothing. Mm. Versus if you, say, for example, have a hot date and you think about that and you imagine how you feel and you'll go along and you'll be a completely different person to the person who's depressed and having the day in bed. So that's what it means. Our thoughts create our feelings, which then will cause the actions that we take. And that causes our results.
Oh, Karen, so we are just about out of time and I don't want to finish the show without talking about your gift. Now, Karen is going to be with us for the next 5 weeks talking about all of these amazing concepts around quantum physics, the quantum world, etc., etc., and how our mind has the power to create the life and the lifestyle or the business that we want. But before we run out of time, I want Karen to tell you what her special offer for today is.
So for anyone who wants to find out more or, in fact, write their vision statement as a start to achieving that beautiful life and lifestyle that they would love, I am really, really happy. I do a couple of these a week as my gift back to give people a complimentary strategy session, which is an hour to an hour and a half of my time, one-to-one. We can do it anywhere in the world on Zoom.
Yes. Yes.
And to help you craft and design that vision and understand a bit more about this and craft and design that vision for your life that gives you that destination and starts you on the road to being able to achieve your outcome.
And that aligns with everything that we've been saying today about just taking a step, one little step, and that might be a one-hour session with Karen. And that one-hour session, if you jump on the internet and type in https://bit.ly/capital SSSIONWITH, capital KAREN. And I will attach that link to all of the social media and to the YouTube when it goes out as well. But Karen will do a 60-minute vision session with you, and that's her special offer for today. So if you don't do anything else and you just want to know what will light you up and get you out of bed in the morning, having a clear vision will. And having worked with Karen, I can vouch for her ability to get that information out of your head. Yeah, mm-hmm. You might think I have no idea. That's fine. Karen will get it out of your brain. Let me tell you. So that is bit.ly/SSSION with Karen. Again, that will be in all of our social media with Karen's interview when it goes onto social media. If not, jump on to radiotony.com and you will see all of Karen's information right there on the website. So that's our lot for this week. And I'm really privileged to have Karen with us for the next 5 weeks. She is a virtual font of information about all sorts of things, and we're going to have some fabulous conversations coming up over the next 5 weeks. Thank you so much for joining me, Karen Clark, on Radio Tony Everyday Business. We look forward to another session with Karen next week at the same time on bbsradio.com. Thank you so much, Karen. Over to you, TJ. Thank you for watching and listening to Tony TV. For more inspirational stories, join us next week. Bye for now.